Welcome, everybody, to episode 318 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby.
Hello. And
hurry up, John. Let's get right into the substance.
We should get right into the substance, especially based on recent feedback in the tavern comments. So,
I don't want to hear about your struggles with lawn care equipment, your stolen goats, whatever's going on in your life. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to hear about WordPress.
You know, I like hearing about the small talk. The small talk is nice for me, but I get it. Not everybody is into that. I mean, I don't know. There's a little bit of small talk in the beginning. We've gotten good feedback from that in the past, that people don't mind a little bit of what's up and how are you and how's the weather makes it feel.
That's not 7 minutes of nothingness, John. It's got to be something, not nothing, for seven minutes.
I, for one, feel like the things that happen in my life are pretty important, at least to me. You know, like hearing that you have the poison ivy and stuff like that. This is my only time to get to talk to you. And if that is what you're going through in your life, then I want to talk to you about that. But yeah, I get why other people don't really care.
What I'm going through in my life, boy, geez.
How long has this been? We've been talking like this for 2 minutes. So we have like five more minutes to go. Like now that we're under the gun, I'm not sure how to even fill that much time.
Oh, no. We better stop it. Anyways, hope everybody enjoyed. If you celebrated Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, hope you had a good holiday. I ended up going to a rib cook-off in sweltering heat and eating ribs in that kind of oppressive heat with the dew point is not a good idea. But the ice cold lemonade was great.
We did the same thing. We had a corn and bratwurst fest, and then the same weekend, because we do a big Memorial Day celebration downtown here, and this weekend was our brew fest, and so there was a runaway hit at our brew festival, and we've probably talked about it on the show before, but there's a meadery that is opening near us that's doing locally sourced honey and making honey mead, and so that kind of ran away with the brew festival. They ran out of their three kegs, and everyone is disappointed. They had a line out the end of the festival. It was great.
That's kind of encouraging for them.
Yeah, it was super good. So I had a good weekend too.
All right, I don't need to hear about your brew fest anymore about East Troy. Let's get into WordPress, okay? Let's go.
We've got 15 years to cover, so we should probably start. In the beginning, there was WordPress.
Oh, yes, sure. But on this past Sunday, May 27th, the first version of WordPress that was ever released, which was 0.70, it's the 15th anniversary of that day. So, yeah, May 27th, there you go. So 15 years old. I mean, we celebrated the genesis, the idea of WordPress earlier this year. It's been 15 years for that. This is celebrates the first release, actual public release of WordPress. And so Matt Maloig, one of the co-creators of the project, as is tradition, published a post about WordPress turning 15 on his site, ma.tt. And he says that there's he actually wrote the post in Gutenberg, so that's good. I'm happy to see that. But he says that he's still meeting people every day who are building something really interesting on WordPress or pushing the project into bold new directions. And he says that, if you can believe it, growth has actually been accelerating. So it's not faltering. It's not getting stale. He would know. I imagine he's a numbers guy, and he would he'd actually know if growth is accelerating. And he talks about some of the major projects that he's seen over the past year or so, with the March for Our Lives .com website is on WordPress. Former President Obama, he's got a website, obama.org, that's on WordPress. The whitehouse.gov switched over to WordPress, and some other things as well. So people all over the world throughout the past, I'd say, week and this weekend, and maybe even coming up, have been celebrating WordPress's 15th release. And you can check it out if you do a search for the WP15 hashtag on Twitter. You'll see all kinds of cupcakes, cakes, wapoos, meetups, people gathered together celebrating WordPress. Celebrating software, celebrating PHP, JavaScript, you name it. Celebrating all that stuff, community.
Yep. The one part of Matt's post that I thought was interesting, it makes me wish that we had more data on growth. And I wasn't sure in his post if he was talking about growth of WordPress or growth of Gutenberg users. It's kind of written where I wasn't sure which one he was mentioning, but it was maybe a week ago or so, we were looking at some plugin install numbers for the BBs, but for EDD and WooCommerce, and I started looking at Jetpack. I started looking at other plugins, and if you look at the stats that we have on WordPress.org, almost all of the major plugins that have like tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of installs show growth declining, almost all of them across the board.
Just based on download numbers?
Yeah. And so installs, number of installs. And so when you, there are some that are, well, not number of installs, but number of, installs. Yeah, is what the chart shows. So it makes me wonder what, as WordPress usage grows, do plugins, the trend almost looks like plugin installation kind of gets evenly spread across all of the WordPress installs. Like there isn't one that's super running away with anything other than a Kismet, which comes pre-installed with WordPress. So it's kind of cheating. Contact Form 7, the numbers continue to go up all the time because it's gotten 7 million, 8 million installs. But everything else seems to kind of have plateaued and then starts to kind of trickle down. So it makes me long for more exact numbers and some API to do trends and charts and graphs and everything, because it's pretty opaque right now.
And Matt actually ends his post with something a bit poetic, but he says, many in the open source world are like Moses in that they speak of the promised land, but will never set foot there. And Matt says, if I spend the rest of my life working and we don't reach almost all websites being powered by open source and the web being substantially open, I will die content because I already see younger generations picking up the banner.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice way to end that. I mean, it's 100% true. I feel the same way. Is open will win in the long term. It just would be nice if it didn't take so long.
Are we gonna have a March for Open Source type events where we like protest outside government capitals and everything, so we demand open source?
We probably should, but hopefully it's not necessary. Yeah, right?
Hopefully we don't get to that point.
You're right. But if it happens that way, I mean, it is important.
The overall trend, based on what I've seen, is even for major corporations that you would think would not even go anywhere near open sourcing their software that they have, are starting to go that way, Microsoft being the example.
Well, there's
one example.
Well, there's something like when you look at the WordPress release post from 15 years ago, and you look at the list of features that are here, texturize, WordPress links, line breaks, excerpts, some of this stuff is either completely gone or like not that interesting anymore. But 15 years ago, this was super interesting, right? And so I think what happens a lot of the times with bigger companies is they don't want to work on all this little stuff anymore, where 15 years ago, working on the little stuff was what made it fun. It's kind of what you got excited about, was like, oh, texturizing. We can do curly quotes by default now across everything. It was such a small thing, but it really did shape the way that people looked at what PHP and scripting and WordPress and websites could do for you. And so there's a million different little solutions like that that companies just don't want to reinvent. So they are forced to rely on the open source versions of these things so that they can focus on solving bigger and better problems for a company of thousands of people. So that's part of it that we talk about a lot on this show, is the days, the good old days. And part of the good old days is this. The little stuff was more exciting. The bigger stuff is more intimidating. So, or it's less easy to be excited about. Like you kind of have to force yourself to be excited about it because there's just so much going on. So, And the thing I like about the old release posts is kind of just how simple they were. Like the new release posts are these like...
Well, I think it matches how simple WordPress was.
That's exactly right. I think that's exactly
much, much smaller code base back then. One of the features in the post says highly intelligent line breaks, and I just kind of makes kind of makes me laugh because I wonder if we haven't do we have those today in WordPress?
I mean, we've got WP Auto P now, which is kind of probably what he's still talking about. But ever since they were put in, they were not super well received. And now something like Gutenberg will kind of eventually absorb WP Auto P and the intelligent line breaking. So we'll see what kind of, I mean, they'll stick around, I'm sure, of course.
I mean, back in the days where HTML 1.0 compliancy was a feature, you know, was important. Mm-hmm. Probably still is important, but it's not something you'll put on your release post.
Well, that's one of the things I joked about, I think probably with you a year or two ago, was how important that semantic markup was until HTML5, where it all went away. We worked towards this like very specific spec to just go, well, now you create your own spec and your own data attributes and make it whatever you need it to be. Everything's a div now. It's okay. I don't know. I really like the specificity of XHTML. And I miss the... I mean, it's fine. I get it. But, you know, that was a feature back then. That was a feature for BB Press, too. That's what made the original BB Press so attractive, was the fact that it used lists where lists were supposed to be, and it used tables where tables were supposed to be. And old forums were always just table-based for...
Oh, man. You tell me, man, because I remember hacking away in vBulletin in the theme, and everything was TDTR, TDTR everywhere.
Everywhere, nested tables on top of tables on top of tables, and BB Press simplified it all. And that was one of the things that attracted folks to BB Press back in the day. And so I think it still is because we really try to keep everything simple there. But there's a separate audience of people that probably want forums that are more app-like too. So there's opportunity for someone to make an HTML5 React-based forum theme for BB Press, and it would probably be super well received. But I ain't got time for that right now, so I ain't doing this.
let me ask you something. Which version of WordPress over the years was named not after a jazz artist? It broke the tradition.
Oh, no, I don't remember. I'm not good with WordPress release name trivia. I'm not.
2006. I'll give you a hint. It was in 2006. It was October 27, 2006, WordPress 2.0.5, Ronin, after Ryan Bourne's.
That's right, after Bourne. Ryan's son. That's right.
Yes, there you go.
I thought I threw that out there.
I got you.
Thank you. If you bring these things up, I have like a memory of the memory. Like, I remember that happening. I do not remember why. I'm terrible at Jeopardy and all that stuff.
And that was actually the first release that was... headed up by Mark Jakewith, who at the time was just added on as a core contributor, at least had commit access. So, and then we have all kinds of releases since then, through the twos, the threes. I don't know, anything you kind of want to look back on 15 years, or should we focus on the future?
Oh, man,
unknown.
We should probably do a little bit of both. I don't know if we still have the mu.wordpress.org blog, or if that redirects now. Oh, the site still is there, but I don't know if the post, because like originally, and the ones that I remember were probably the ones from Donica about
October 23rd, 2006. There's a release post about mu 1.0 and BB Press.
Like that. That was when that was a. Yeah, there it is. Right by Ronin, right before Ronin. Yeah. Look at that. But I don't think the MU blog is around anymore.
Yeah, I think I remember it had the little ellipses or something like that over the U on the actual WordPress MU website. I remember that. But yeah, it had its own site. I guess maybe it got absorbed into something else.
I remember it getting absorbed, but I thought we merged the posts. Yeah, it was. I can't find the posts anymore, though. Oh, well, not a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, that was a about when I first started paying attention and looking around, maybe a little bit before then, but I didn't make my WordPress.org account, I don't think, until 2007 or 8. So, but yeah, this was, there was a lot going on there. That was like the old days of getting your BB Press set up with your MU or your WordPress site using all these file includes hacks and WP config and BB config. And those were the old, super old days. I really still like that setup a lot. Like, I'm going to try and build something that kind of goes along those same lines. But, you know, this is kind of how I grew up using WordPress, was this hacky, really deep sort of integrated way.
Well, wasn't, if we remember, TalkPress, which mm-hmm. was sort of an attempt by Automattic to create the WordPress.com, but for BB Press, or at least mm-hmm. have a BB Press component you could pay for to have hosted forums on your site. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that was BB Press tied in with MU, right? Because their WordPress.com uses a highly customized version of WordPress multi-site.
So that depends on which one you're talking about, because when I was at Automattic on VIP, I took a stab at TalkPress also, and we had I think we had three different sites, or maybe three or four BB Press sites on WordPress.com that were sort of trialing it, and that was using BB Press 2.0 on WordPress multi-site. But this version, the old version that I think you're talking about, mostly from Sam Bowers, was BB Press multi. It was like multi BB Press, because you could do that. There was an old plugin in the BB Press plugin repo that would let you override BBDB the same way that you can override WPDB, and you could have multiple BB Press installations. It was kind of a better way of doing that than what's in multi-site, I think. But yeah, it was just not the hotness that people wanted, unfortunately. People wanted sites and blogs. People didn't want forums. But I think we've talked about before, like, discourse is kind of proof that people do want hosted communities and forums. So clearly there is a demand for it somewhere. You just have to have the right solution and the right software and the right, values or whatever else. So I think there's opportunity. It's just,
and speaking of TalkPress, it's funny going back and looking, back in 2008, 2009, in a Houston Chronicle article, Dwight Silverman interviewed Matt Mulloway, and he says he spent a lot of time on forums and they drive him crazy. He says they haven't changed in 10 years. He talks about, some of the new cash, the funding they received, we're going to put some of that into a product called TalkPress. So that's kind of where we sort of heard about it the first time. Mm-hmm. And actually, TalkPress.com, when you visited the site, mm-hmm. when it was first there, it was launched on with PHP BB, which mm-hmm. was kind of a head scratcher. But apparently, it was only a joke. Back from reading some of the archive, but the forum, I guess the forum was open, and it started to be overrun with spam, so they decided to take it down, just changed it to a splash page, which contained a few screenshots of mm-hmm. WordPress.com VIP client using the hosted service.
Well, and BB Press, the original database schema, I think came from PunBB or MyBB? MyBB, I think. And so there's a lot of roots there. Matt and I have talked a lot about forums. You and I have talked a lot about forums too on the show. But TalkPress is a good idea. It just has to come back around, I think.
And this is what you may have been referring to, but it was actually called BB Press Channels, yes. Which was supposed to do for BB Press what WordPress MU did for WordPress, except it was a single file mm-hmm. that simply included any standard BB Press install rather than being a complete fork of BB Press. Was that what you were referring to?
That is exactly what I was referring to. Mm.
But as we see, TalkPress really didn't get a lot of traction. And I don't know, maybe there's still bits and pieces, remnants of it on WordPress.com somewhere. Maybe not, but who knows.
So, I mean, there might be from when I worked on it, but I bet the rest of it's gone. And right now, talkpress.com redirects to the wordpress.com VIP.
Oh, well, there you go.
Makes me sad. I wish it's still such a good idea. I don't know. That's like one of the things I wish that would have worked. It would have worked out because, you know, there's a whole separate idea there.
That just seems a bit exciting for me to on WordPress.com. If you had the ability to pay for an add-on or a feature, and boom, you can now have a hosted community on that's attached to your .com blog. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed to make sense to me. I mean, it just
that was the whole point. Yeah. For a while, my blog that was there on my WordPress.com blog still had it active, just to test it out because I was using it just to see and make sure that it worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, so much. Okay.
So WordPress has had a lot of releases over the years, of course, within the past one or two. Some historic changes have taken place with the release strategy, kind of throwing that out the window, and Gutenberg. So, you know, there's this thing called puberty for teenagers that hits around the teenage years, and maybe Gutenberg is WordPress's version of puberty. So
I like the way that you said that. Like, there's this thing called puberty. you may have heard of it.
Yes, you may have heard. I mean, you know, there's a couple of zits popping up on WordPress, but it's okay. It's part of the growing process. We'll get through it. So there's major changes there with WordPress. As for the future, I mean, if we look back in the history of WordPress, 15 years, I mean, that's a lot of PHP. It's a lot of CSS. There's a lot of frameworks. There's a lot of stuff that exists within WordPress. But if we look towards the future, JavaScript is leading the way. JavaScript is the future, it seems, for WordPress, the REST API, creating headless things using WordPress where you don't have to worry about the back end, JavaScript frameworks, Gutenberg, and maybe eventually somewhere way down the road, WordPress itself could be like a single page app or something built with React or whatever JavaScript app, and we can have something that's super responsive. Because, you know, that's one of my favorite things about using like Calypso, which is powered simply by the REST API, is it's so fast. You access all different pages in the back end of WordPress so fast, but using the back end we have today, it's like, oh, you know, it's a real drag. So I don't know. What do you think is the looking ahead to the next 15? Or should we start with the first two?
I mean, the one thing that I notice about all this is, like you're talking about, is there is more and more JavaScript that is taking everything over. And not just in the, like, Gutenberg React way, but even, like, just view any page inside of WordPress admin or, like, the front end of any website that might be powered by WordPress, and the number of just like script tags in the source code now is almost as many or getting close to subjectively as just regular like HTML tags, like paragraphs, spans, whatever else. But there are so many script tags like in the headers and footers, inline everywhere, that we are not being very shy about the fact that more and more little features are being powered by bits and pieces of JavaScript all over the place. So, and the other thing I noticed too, like as we get more JavaScript and less PHP, we also get more release candidates and more betas than we used to. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, I don't think it's because of JavaScript. I think it's because WordPress, you know, powers millions and millions of sites. And so you want to be more and more cautious with each one of the releases that you want to put out there. But you know, back in the day, 15 years ago, some of them didn't even have release candidates. It was just, here's a release. Thanks for playing. Here's another one. Here you go. And we were still in the 2.0 phases of, you know, 2007 and 8 was just boom, 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 one after another. And now it's months and months of release candidates.
I mean, yeah, take a look at 2017, you know, 4.9 beta 1 and 4.9 beta 2, Four. Release candidate. Release candidate two, three. Yeah. Finally get to the release.
There's more communication. So maybe there was betas and RCs then and they just weren't posted. There's more to worry about. And so having more betas and release candidate, it's the right thing to do. But it was just an interesting trend that I noticed also. I don't know though. There's a part of me, because you know I'm curmudgeon-y about things. Like having web, like the internet is fast enough for most folks now, that like eventually in our lifetimes the web will be fast enough where a page refresh won't actually bother us that much. Browser technology and everything will be cached and everything's all getting better and better every day. And so a page refresh shouldn't really bother us that much, especially if it's in something that you're compartmentalized in, like wp-admin. But having the single page app is what everyone's going for, and I get why. But page refreshes don't really bother me so much, especially not in WordPress, because there is something that like the digitalization of music, but people still want turntables. Like DJs still want tactile feedback. They want to click a fader. They want to feel the turntable. People don't want digital DJs. They want to see someone that knows how to do it. And so when I'm publishing content, I'm sort of okay with it doing that hard refresh. It feels tactile to me. It gives me confidence that WordPress successfully saved a thing and then comes back and says, yes, I know I saved a thing. But when you click publish and then the page doesn't refresh, and then it kind of just says, hey, I did that thing. Here's a little drop down that says, congratulations. Hope you feel good about it. Like, it doesn't make me feel good about it. I like seeing that page refresh. I don't always trust that that congratulatory message is really on point. So I could take it or leave it. But I know that that's not the right answer. The answer is onward for more single page apps. But
Hey, Jaxify or WordPress REST API, all the things. Whatever makes it faster for me, that's what I want.
And it doesn't. And the thing is, the reality is, it doesn't make it faster. It only makes it feel faster because the server has to do twice as much work.
Right.
So you know, it's fine. But
I mean, that goes back to one of the bugs I actually reported at a contributor day, where if you try to upload an image and you were on a slow server, at one point it just, all you saw was a white screen. You didn't know anything was going on in the background. So there's actually a lot of work that was involved adding a spinner, a loading spinner to that page to indicate that something was going on. It's all about perception sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We just did that with, we have a change in EDD, that, They use Chosen, which is like a jQuery extension to do autocomplete, like select to. And I like Chosen. I know people have some accessibility issues or something, but like as a piece of code, it's fine. But there was a little bit of a lag when you would type in the search field. Chosen wasn't really designed to like do Ajaxification and reload results and stuff. And so our support group would get one or two a week, I think, were like, hey, this is glitchy and it doesn't work right. And just like over the weekend, you know, trying to practice, you know, why my freedom to work on open source software. And so I was like, I'm just going to fix this. It's driving me nuts. And so sped it up, fixed it, and done it, put a little spinner in it so that people can see that it's thinking. And it's just little tweaks like that really shape the experience a lot. And so even though it took very little time, and even though it wasn't like a super big deal, everyone, you know, that looked at it over the weekend was like, that is something that we should have done a long time ago. Like just the little, little perception tweaks, little spinners, little, hey, I'm over here doing something, really go a long way.
Things like that. So WordPress has been around for 15 years. You've been involved in it. How many of those 15?
Well, 2006 was probably when I started using it. 2008 is when I really actively started myself.
So 10 to 12 years. Mm-hmm. So 10 to 12 years. What? So let me ask you something. What why are you not bored of WordPress yet? Why do you still have a career or actively involved in WordPress? What keeps you motivated? What keeps you around and inspired to continue working and build stuff on and with WordPress?
So that's a good question. I'm going to ask you the same question.
I don't want to answer.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat. My answer is the easy answer is that it's the people that make it great. But kind of by default, like out in the world, I have a tendency to be a little grumpy about things on occasion, and so. Me saying that it's the community is kind of me saying that it is kind of the better community or the best community that I've worked with, that I appreciate, communicate with. It's always rewarding. It's always learning. Very educational, super positive, trying to do good. And so it's all of that. I mean, that isn't just like, yay, rah, rah community. It's kind of like it really matches the sort of my personal manifesto, like be nice to people, educate people, try to be helpful, all of those things. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would stick around.
Because I was just about to ask you, if we take community out of the equation and then look at WordPress to project or what have you, I mean, would you still stick around? Still involved with it or build stuff with it?
I guess I would say you'll never know. But yeah. if when the community starts to feel negative or if there was a lot of infighting, if there was just a lot of drama, which there is some drama with which I have been involved. but if it was primarily that, then I don't think I would stick around. And the other part of it is because I have been involved for this long, I feel a sense of ownership or a little bit of an ability to try. Well, I feel like I can chime in on ideas and try to influence the direction that things go, where even though I've been using Apple products for just as long, I'm not involved in that community. And so I have nothing I can say or do will really change a whole lot of what happens with anything that is Apple related. And so as a spectator, I'm not involved as much and I am grumpier about the way that things happen. But because I have been deeply involved with WordPress for so long, I feel like I can and have a little bit of a responsibility to influence it for what I think is the best WordPress that it can be and make the community better and stay out of the way when I can't. So, and that I have learned over the years what that means and doesn't mean for me with WordPress. But if something changed and it was wholly negative and I felt like I couldn't stand it anymore, then what would I do, right? There would be two things. I would try to keep it positive and make it the way that I wanted it to be. And if that was literally impossible for me to do anymore, then the only thing you can do is go find some place that you think is healthier or better. So that would make me pretty sad. But that is the reason why I think I stick around, is really the people have always made it feel like a rewarding, happy, fun place. There's it pays the bills. Yes, I've made a lot of friends. Yes, we're making the world a better place. There's like a million different answers as to why I stick around with it. But a lot of those things would be true on any other platform, I guess. Drupal's just as open source. Node is open source, empowering, millions of sites. But because I don't feel like I can make as big of a difference there, I don't try. And so what would it be like to start out with WordPress today? I think we focus a lot on leveling people up quickly and introducing them to the community and making sure that they feel valued. Like that is part of what our community tries to do. And so you try and pick people that are committed or rising stars or that are working really hard or that need recognition. Like, we really try to be a rewarding community. And if there's a community that doesn't have that, then you just feel like another one, a user, or I don't know what. That's so it's an interesting question. I think my answer is probably different now than it would have been in the early days. But even then, it's the few. Like, I think probably when Mark led his first release, I think Ronin might have been the first WordPress install that like I installed myself. Like, oh, playing around with it. But that was meeting everyone online and on IRC and everything still. And everything back then was rewarding and fun and nice. So I don't know. Same thing.
Back when everyone could fit in the same room.
That's right. On the same IRC server and everything else. So what about you though?
Guess what? I forgot the question. So I guess I can't answer.
Why stick around? Why WordPress for this long?
Well, it pays the bills. B, mm-hmm. I've got a nice job. I've got great health care. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm at the top. I've got the WP Tamron website. It's owned by Matt Mulloway. I work for the co-creator of WordPress, mm-hmm. like trying to keep tabs and writing about WordPress. But you know, for me personally, it's that new fresh feeling, that mm-hmm. innovation, that you know, I've been doing this for so long, where it's difficult to try and figure out and come up with new ways to mm-hmm. reinvigorate myself, remotivate myself, try and get that creative energy that I once had. And I always think back to the golden days. I shouldn't say that, but you know, there were better times for the tavern and my involvement with the site. And there were times where, you know, I always reference back to when I just felt like I had an awesome community going on with the forums, and I was helping people. I was bridging people. I was making connections for people. I was doing what I could to help everybody out. And I was in the know, and I was sort of this liaison for so many people in the WordPress space. And I feel like I've lost that. I've gotten out of touch with a lot of people and WordPress just in general. And I've kind of been distancing myself from it. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a necessary break. I've done this before. Maybe I'll come back with a renewed interest. I mean, maybe if I wasn't doing it every day for a living, I bet I could write about WordPress no problem. You know, it's just mm-hmm. weird, mm-hmm. one of those weird things. But you know, mostly it's just, you know, it's the obvious answers. It pays my bills, mm-hmm. and but personally, you know, it's finding that energy, that motivation, that passion, that drive, that desire. Mm-hmm. It's getting pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. To maintain.
Well, for what it's worth, I don't think that's not the wrong answer. Like, there's nothing wrong with that answer is probably the better way to say that. Because it's important to have a job, number one. You need responsibilities. And where you're at with the tavern and the podcast and everything else, it's hard to see what would even come next, because you're already sort of at the top of these charts, you know, like, and so what do you do when you feel that way other than look down? Cause you're not sure how to look up. Right. So that's not surprising, I guess. And there are lots of people.
I've been surrounded by negativity with these people who comment on the tavern. It's
that too.
It's negative, that negative, too. Negative, 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 negative. Mm-hmm.
I could see that. And poison ivy certainly doesn't help, and a broken chainsaw doesn't help either, right? But but there are probably lots of people that feel that way. I would say most people probably feel that way in the company that they work for, or trying to make their own company work, or consulting, contracting. It's real easy to see the ceiling a lot of times in these things, and you have to choose to find the the something to be excited or positive about. And sometimes the thing you choose chooses you, and sometimes you can actually choose the thing. And so if you're lucky, you get to choose. And if you're not lucky, you have to do something that you don't love in order to get by and pay the bills and find some joy and love in that thing instead of having it kind of gifted to you. So I get it. I think that's probably totally normal.
Thanks. Thanks for putting me on the spot publicly on the show. You know, that's something I would tell you off air, and not now it's on record.
Ooh, this is good. This is what I want. I want less off the air and more on the air like this.
Oh boy.
So what do you so your original question sort of is, what do you think is going to keep you sticking around for another 15 years? What would it take for you to find, other than me working on getting the Tavern forums up and running again, what's going to keep you around? What's going to keep you excited? What would be the thing that would excite you?
That's a pretty difficult question. I mean, I've thought about, is this something I want to do for the rest of my life? Is this something I want to make a career out of? Is this something, do I want to write about WordPress for as long as it exists into my 40s, into my 50s? Mm-hmm. Can I do that? Do I want to even do that? And I have difficulty answering those questions.
Yeah. So,
I think if, you know, and there's the point here where even if I bring back forums or a community aspect to the Tavern, mm-hmm. you know, is it too late? I mean, is my drive and passion gone to the point where it doesn't matter? You know, because it takes a lot of energy, willpower, and just that drive to do that, to maintain that, to build the community, to be the liaison. And yeah, sure, you know, it's a paid job and you get to do it. But I mean, at some point, you know, once, you know, if someone loses that drive or desire or that motivation to really do what it is they want to do, either because it's not there, it's not at the point, or you can't build it, or mm-hmm. the resources aren't in place. I mean, once they lose that, it's hard to get it back. And then, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's too late. So I don't know, even if everything's put together, I mean that's not going to solve all my problems. So I don't really know what I mean, there's Gutenberg and WordPress is changing, it's going, I mean, this is the biggest change for the software in 15 mm-hmm. years, so that in itself should be like really exciting, and to see how that plays out. And yet, you know, there's a good bit of excitement around Gutenberg, but I just don't know, man. It's not like 2007 when I discovered WordPress and I discovered how easy it is to use, and I really just mm-hmm. jumped headfirst into being helpful and learning things and sharing that knowledge and writing about it and just going crazy with WordPress fever. Mm-hmm. And now that I've been involved for the past 10 years or so writing about WordPress, covering it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I'm running, I mean, outside of video interviews and doing some other thingamajigs, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what to do, kind of.
Yeah. So
I don't even know what I want to do.
So, you know, like there are two parts to repetitive stress disorder, right? Like there's the physical part of just doing the same job too much, but there's also like the mental toll of doing the same thing for too long. And so if writing and writing and writing and writing is not the thing that you're digging right now, that is okay, as long as you're able to do what your job requirements entail for you. It's not unusual for people to get burnt out or to just get sick of working on the same thing. In companies that have more employees, you know, when you're at a 10-up or when you're at a Pantheon or when you're at a place, you can kind of say, hey, I'm not really digging what I'm working on. I'd like to try something else. And you can, because there's lots of work to do and to spread. But when you're kind of one of two, like you and Sarah are at the Tavern, it's hard to say, hey, I'm done doing this. I want to go do something else. But, and we've talked about this a little bit in, you know, our own after show when the show is done, but I think, and I'm going out on a limb, and maybe I'm giving other people ideas, but with the, you know, tens of millions of installs, with the economy that there is behind WordPress, with the number of podcasts that there are, with the number of self-publishers and our kind of internally motivated group that we are. I don't think that the tavern and a blog is kind of the entertainment ceiling for you or for this. There isn't really anything stopping anyone other than just the amount of work that it is to put together a real talk show, like a late night with Jeff Chandler style Johnny Carson show, where you actually sit down with production and questions and interviews and answers and in a place and produce a high quality, relatively scripted, but not really sort of variety show. Podcasts are great and we enjoy our time together on the show, but someone's going to do some kind of WordPress specific talk show like that. And it would be upsetting if it wasn't you, or because I think that you're so good at it. So maybe the blog and our show is
what you're saying is there are ideas, there are ways that you can accomplish and do the things you want to do. But do you care enough to go ahead and do them?
And do you care enough about it to let it go and trust other people to help you do it? Because arguably that was, and Matt said this before, that's the thing that takes the most courage and will pay off the biggest. If you really love it, you can let it go and it comes back in dividends. And so open sourcing WordPress, or, you know, at least keeping it GPL and open source, giving the trademark to the foundation, some stuff is symbolic, some stuff is spiritual, but in the end, if you keep giving it away and letting other people make it better, is the only way you'll see this kind of stuff through. To make a show like that, you need directors, producers, writers, multiple cameras, high quality equipment. You need to travel, you need rigs, you need to go to a place, go to every WordCamp. You spend a lot of time on the road. Maybe, maybe not, but podcasts are not the ceiling for this. There's enough economy and sponsorship, enough money where someone could really do a high, high quality, super highly polished weekly show, daily show, late night show. Can be more creative. We just have to.
I want to do something that's like 60 minutes where I interview somebody and their face is all blocky and they have voice distortion. You know? We could talk about some real good stuff, like back chat hallway stuff in WordPress if we do it that way.
I think that's a joke. You don't actually want that.
No,
a little bit of that.
No, right? I don't want that. I'm just
a little bit of that every once in a while might be funny, but no. I mean, I know
what you're saying.
Because my favorite shows, I really liked Johnny Carson when I grew up because it wasn't just a talk show. It was a variety show. It was funny. That's why I liked Conan.
Oh, every host needs a band so I can get Kyle Moore on with his ukulele and he could be my band.
But at the same time, I really like David Letterman's format of just sitting down with one person for an hour and, you know, interviewing them and chatting and then having some B-roll of them like out doing stuff. And I really like Jerry Seinfeld and Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee's format of like very casual, but that still takes 40 GoPros and two camera people and a video editor who's clearly amazing to read through hours and hours of footage and then assemble the best show possible out of it. We just sit here for an hour and 10 minutes occasionally and shoot the breeze about stuff, but putting together a nice show, a WordPress specific show like that, is one of those things that I would love to do. I think it would be, someone's going to do it. And I think it would be a ton of fun. So
I've got breaking news. It is World Otter Day.
Oh,
so today is a day where we think of and remember the cutest animal, the otter. My wife loves otters. I mean,
that's me clapping and sounding like an otter.
Oh, it sounded like a seal or a walrus.
Like a seal? I guess, what is an otter not clap? Do otters clap? This is me Googling if otters clap on the show.
Hey, look, otters hold hands when they sleep so they don't drift apart.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, otters are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, sea otters do clap. They definitely clap. Come on now.
Okay, so that's gonna. So that's our little bit of our looking back at WordPress through the years,
sort and
of
looking forward
on our position in this WordPress space. And unless you have something else you want to cover or whatnot, maybe somebody could, if our listeners out there could email us like an awesome memory you've had, a WordPress memory within the past 15 years, send it to jeffc@wptavern.com. And I'd love to hear about just an awesome memory you've had or experience within the past 15 years involving WordPress. And maybe I could read a few of those on the show next week.
That's a good idea. The only plug that I've got is I'd really like to release BBPress 2.6, but I need or would like to this is basically a call to if there is anybody that's running a big BBPress forum to get in touch so that I can test some migrations for people and make sure that everything is working the way that that it's supposed to. I have a draft on the bbpress.org blog, their blog that I started that I didn't finish last night. And so I figured this is my call because feedback on beta and RC, even though we're on release candidate 5, has been largely positive or none at all. And so I'm afraid because I feel like somebody would have and should have found something wrong with it by now. So if there's anybody out there using a big BBPress forum, I'd like to look at it and help upgrade. And if I don't hear from anybody, then I'm just gonna release it and feel like we've done everything we can do to get any feedback.
Hey, it worked for WordPress back in the day. It probably can work for BBPress too. Just release it.
It's true.
A couple other headlines. Speaker submissions have opened up for WordCamp US. So if you're interested in speaking at one of the largest WordPress events in the world, please get your application in. WooCommerce 3.4 has been released. 3.41, I think, was released today. So that's a bug fix release. Of course, the previous release was all about GDPR and privacy stuff. And other than that, there's discussions going on. Last week, auto updating was turned on for WordPress 4.9.6. So it was about a week late, but they eventually turned it on. So if your site automatically updated 4.9.6, that's why. And they're discussing 4.9.7, I believe. That'll be coming up for release relatively soon. And outside of that,
I have one more thing that I can add.
What's going on? Go ahead before we wrap it up.
So we are going to release the first beta of Easy Digital Downloads 3.0 approximately June 1st. So that's 2 days. Well, today and tomorrow and then June 1st, whatever we can finish from now until then. But I bring that up because we're going to do the 3.0 beta is going to be for new installs only. We have some migration stuff and lots of custom tables and performance things. And so this is also kind of my disclaimer to say, if you're going to test the 3.0 version of Easy Digital Downloads, probably only want to do that on new sites and or definitely not on a live site. And or if you're just going to help us test or report bugs or test your add-ons with 3.0 or find regressions and all that stuff. So June 1st. And that's super exciting because then I can start talking about all the cool stuff that's in EDD3.
Awesome. There's probably a lot of people out there looking forward to the next incarnation of EDD. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on my boring Twitter account, Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-0, and John.
JJJ.blog and JJJ on Twitter and GitHub if you want to get a sneak peek, a super sneak peek at all of the EDD3 stuff that's going on. So,
all right, so happy birthday, WordPress, first version of WordPress. We're here for do this thing for another year, and we'll talk to you guys again next Wednesday afternoon. So long, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.